they report to you. That's what instruments you use. The 2005 report, they were the report that they presented. They said that the household size in South Africa is approximately, it has come down from 4.5 to 3.8. Well, in certain cases, that might be true. The recent report that we've seen from some other people, more private entrepreneurs and people like that, that think a little bit different, and gone and said that the average household size is actually bigger. It's approximately 5.2. So it depends from which area you look at and how do you want to, you know, this is the one thing that they say about superstition, that you can always cook anything up with it. And unfortunately, it is true, and figures, unfortunately, has a way of creating a perception. And unfortunately, we need to move away from those thinking. We try to stay as close to the reality as possible. So if you say that we have approximately four people in a household, and you multiply the 2.8, you can pretty much get to 12 million people that you would have, close to the concept of 13 million people. But again, it's a question of how you do this. Housing delivery over the last 5 years, what we've seen in certain provinces is that it's growth, in certain provinces it's better. In certain provinces, they have more difficulty. We've seen that certain provinces understand how to present their possibility of using money in a more effective way. And other provinces do have, and we've discussed it yesterday, some of the areas where capacity constraints really make an impact on the delivery of the department. And it is very true that in certain municipalities, they have got large difficulties in using their capacity to the extent of really being in a position to execute their housing responsibility effectively. One of the things that we've seen in some cases, it is a very good thing. This is a national number of projects with an average project size. And what it implies, it brings the information a little bit closer to an analytical view. What it does, it tells you that the project sizes have come down over the last couple of years, which allows you to manage your project better. This information says here talks about projects and project phases. You say to me, but what does that mean? Why is that important? There's a number of projects, and this is just to highlight this effect. This is just to bring something about this to you. There's a number of projects where a certain project cannot go on anymore as that project. And then that project gets stopped, and the new phase of that project gets executed. The project gets executed in different phases. And sometimes, because in the photo for that matter, I'm pretty sure I've seen one here in the next day also, is that the same project doesn't happen or doesn't occur in the same area specifically. There's a small area here where 10 or 5 houses get built, traffic phase 1, or a phase. There's another phase in approximately 2 or 3 kilometers from the same initiative. So it's the same project. So that is what is happening here. But what we're just saying is that there's an incredible amount of administration that happens along those ways. So it implies that a number of initiatives need to be established to manage these areas. If you consider what I indicated to you that over since 1994, we've got a very large number of clients. This slide is just trying to give you a sense of the number of beneficiaries that the delivery. So what the provinces have done is they've gone out and made sure that there are more beneficiaries available as the delivery proceeds. So that's a very important aspect. You can't just always wait for beneficiaries. You need to be in a position to have beneficiaries available as your projects are being completed. Unfortunately, there's also bad stories about certain projects. We have established on that housing subsidy system where you can actually now classify. Some of the projects are blocked, and some of the projects are blocked for a very long time. And what we have discussed with provinces is that those projects that are blocked for a very long time need to be an actual fact canceled and established into something new. So these are the numbers that provinces are starting to show us, that they are saying, this one is blocked, we're going to do something about it. Of those blocked projects, there's approximately 229 projects that are blocked in the country right now. And we want to change that. That is where some of our efforts want to go in to make sure that we start focusing and making a special effort along those lines. Let me give you an example of why something becomes blocked. If the procedure hasn't been followed, and there is a place where you sit, suddenly with an EIA that hasn't been completed, that project cannot proceed. And it can be within 6 months. Unfortunately, because it hasn't been followed. So this is one of the things that Anton has been talking about yesterday. What you actually need to do is you need to start bringing your provinces and your municipalities into that understanding of you need to plan correctly. You can't say, hey, tomorrow I'm going to go to the other project. You can't actually say that. You've got to plan it approximately 2, 3, 4 years in advance so that when you execute it at that point, then everything is set in place. And that is what the initiatives are happening along with ongoing issues. Starting to stabilize the planning environment. So the moment you're starting to stabilize that, you allow people in actual fact to plan for 2, 3 years ahead. Slow-moving project. A slow-moving project is a project that hasn't been completed, but there's still money being paid out against that project. But for the last 3 years, there's no money that has been paid out against that. So what we do? We develop a report for the province, and we say to the province, this project here, we need to consider doing something about that. Otherwise, you're going to sit with this project forever and ever and ever. So provinces are starting to understand the processes, but also, again, this is with limited capacity, and in that limited capacity, they're starting to use this information more effectively. One of the questions that Honorable Sam usually asks me, what are you doing with your money? What are you buying? We thought we'd bring that information to the table here. There are a couple of areas. In terms of plans, this is what we buy. We're buying administration. We are buying approval of subsidies. There are banking costs. There are consultancies. There are conveyancing fees. There is transfer fees, there is drafting of laws, there is human settlement initiatives that need to get paid, there is off-cap that is used. There's rates and taxes, project management, you can virtually name it and it becomes part of your planning. All of that, it just doesn't happen. It is something that needs to get paid. When you put something in somebody's stomach to do something, but somebody is expecting money against his name, it doesn't happen overnight. And if people expect to be paid for their services. If we're talking about a site, what are we saying? There's a site that has been paid. We are saying there's approval of a plan that has been paid. There's breaching finance. There's questions against that. There is earthwork that needs to be done. Engineering design. There's a grant that has been established that needs to be paid. Geotech needs to be paid. Your services have been installed. Or nobody buys to go to and they buy a house. I mean, every time that you change houses, I do not know how many houses everybody has, but for every house that you have to go and pay to bring up your service with that has been something that needs to get paid. Something needs to get paid. There's professional services, there's... But when a contract is drawn, somebody needs to pay for it. People tell you it's worth nothing. All the structures, stormwater, speed, lightning. We just added a number of you in here, so that you can see that it just didn't happen. It is money that something goes against. When that house is completed, what are we saying? What are we really saying? You know, one of the things that Treasury does, we always want to know how many houses have been completed. It is not a simple as that. One of the things that the previous minister was very adamant about, how do you allow me, how do you want me to say to you, I've expended X million rand, and you want, really want me to tell you about the completed houses? What about the money that I put into earthworks, into the money that I put into linkages, into off-cap, into consultancies? What about that? You're going to tell me that I'm actually, my house now costs me more than what it actually costs me. No, it doesn't work that way. Let's give you the linkage. And this is what we're trying to establish. Start building up that picture. There are other ways that we can do it. We want to keep it as clean as possible as we can do. So those three areas is very important that we start to build capacity around, start to build understanding. The next time we see each other, I would love to go into more depth into different ways of explaining this type of information. I thought for the first cut, a stabilizing, setting the scene, it would be very useful if we start to understand what we are talking about. Because I think one of the things that was mentioned yesterday, and that was critical, that the teams are starting to work as one. So that we can provide to our people a better service. There's a couple of interventions and challenges that I thought would be very useful. And some of my other colleagues here would also like to contribute possibly to this area. Again, we kept this a little bit more to the higher level because of the time constraints. And I'm already past my time. Chair, I will finish up shortly. Chair, so what have we done? We've established a number of reviews. There's an alignment review. So that is where provinces and nationals get together and say to each other, well, we say that you build 5 houses. And provinces say, we build 10. And then we say, not according to our information. You only build 5. Then somebody says, but what about this and this and this? And then it's not on the system. And then they say, it doesn't work that way. If we build 10. Then we say, show them. So these verification processes that we started to establish, those alignment initiatives, we can't just accept these things anymore because it's a responsibility against us that we have to work with them. So it is that understanding that we're starting to build the problems, making sure that what we say and what they say is the same thing. They can't come to Parliament and they say something else and we come here, we say something else. Who are we? What are we working for? We are a human settlement structure for South Africa, not for this place here and that place. I know we had to show our passports when we came through the airport here in Cape Town, but I mean that it's still one country. in terms of performance, quarterly and biannually. One of the things that we've established last, we started this last year in 2007 and 2008 in January, that's when we first started this initiative. And the planning initiative at that stage was, well, for a 3-day meeting, we meet with provinces, three provinces come through on a day. What we are changing? And we are changing it now to become a week or a 2-week event. Because chaos is an interrogative initiative. What they are proposing and giving you, you cannot interrogate that in a couple of hours. You have to sit with it. You have to unpack. So that is changing. And that's how we learn. And everybody is learning those ways. Obviously, we've enhanced our systems and we've enhanced our training initiatives, but there's still challenges out there. Don't make a mistake about that. Project managers giving us a hard time every time we meet with them. No, we can't do this, we want to do it this way. They want to change consistently. But the line that we take is that you can understand, you cannot continuously change. Somewhere along the line, you've got to say, this is what it is. Use this. We'll enhance it as we grow. Otherwise, you're going to, on a continuous basis, then chop here, change there, chop this, another thing, chop here. You'll never get to stabilize anything. We have linked provinces and the performance that they do in terms of drawdowns. And we will probably, when Mr. Flutsy speak about that, she will go into a little bit more depth around that. Mr. Chowdhury is building up his M&E capacity. He's making sure that he's going to more projects more often to try and understand these areas. We draw information from the HSS. We say these areas are problematic. Mr. Charles, can you go and visit these areas according to us? Working as an integrated unit can't just work in silence. We've developed a number of guidelines. We've developed training guidelines. Mr. Charles has developed indicator guidelines, we've developed policy guidelines all over. But it doesn't always help. Along with those guidelines, we've established an interpretation area. Just think of a little bit about it. There's a policy that comes out, it was called the IRDP. What the devil does that stand for? Does anybody know? I think I'm going to leave a little bit of homework. Integrated Residential Development Program. You remember yesterday Dick spoke to you about the Project Link program, and it has been changed a little bit to the Integrated Residential Development Program. What has changed there? Long time ago, Mr. Stan, you would remember, we said, you don't build any house before you haven't identified a beneficiary group. So we change that a little bit. We say, okay, we'll allow you. Go and build your house. But at this point, when you put in the groundwork, the moment you start to put your structure on the ground, you must establish a beneficiary program where you identify your beneficiary. So we change it around with them. You don't build your house. Because it became quite difficult at some stage because beneficiaries lose. And, you know, one of the things in the informal settlement that we're trying to address, and one of the big efforts in a number of our work is to try and give people an address, give people a hope, so that people feel that they have a place in life. For everybody, that's why we are allowed. So it's very important that we build on these areas of understanding. And together we identify those areas. I mean, there's a complete guideline about what it means. Why is it something wrong? Capacity, understanding, verification, just putting it as quick as possible, or is it complete maladministration? Those are the sort of things, and then we have teams going up and new warning system on a monthly basis. We try and understand, is this problem going to spread? Is this municipality in the position to do that? Interrogating, doing performance assessments, understanding where is what going. Focus on project level information and verification. Intervention teams working with the problem. Not long ago, we established a team that has gone and verified 900,000 houses. We have GPS coordinated all of those houses. We know where they are. We have now, Mr. Charles, who will maybe talk a little bit about that, we've now established the occupancy audit. You heard also yesterday about it. So there's a little bit of shift. They were previously checking those houses in relation to what's on the system. How do they correspond? So what accuracy are we talking about here? We're now changing a little bit about it. We say, beneficiaries, are you the true beneficiaries that's supposed to be here? You remember the Minister of Housing previously talked about that. And then we commissioned various investigations on housing programs. But during this project monitoring that has been done, we've identified a number of challenges. And I'm closing with this, Chair. I know that you're going to hit me now over the head. But I thought it would be very useful for people to start to get a feel of what is really what's the difficulty. It's not that we don't know. Chair, we know this. It's how we attack them, how we take them off and get them right. That is where the difficulty lies. Project with severe structural defects, leaking roofs, cracked walls, cracked floors. So we know which one of those. Mr. Chow can be seen as this is a number of these projects. Each one of these ones we know. The problem was on the ground, the municipality was with us on the ground, and they know. They have a rectification plan put in place to deal with that. Service, water and pipes that it leaks, material shortages. Not readily available, or the poor quality of the material, lack of skilled workers. The project managers are lacking careers. People getting out of the out of school, and then they think they can project manage a project of $1,000. It's not a good. Beneficiary identification. It is sometimes like beneficiaries move out, then you have to find new ones. Approval processes can sometimes be slow. Not all information on the beneficiary has been given to you. Whether you get searched against the UIFP or UIF, suddenly you realize that this person has been receiving a bigger salary for quite some time. At some stage we went to SARS, we wanted SARS to help us. SARS were willing to help us once, but we can't. Linked on a continuous basis to them because they've got very restricting laws around the confidentiality of the information. Lack of bulk infrastructure. You would remember one of the big things that hit the newspapers not long ago was the nature of the storm. Today is a big challenge, and I think the alignment of meat and housing projects. Not that we don't know, we know about that. The issue on how do we solve those factors. Contractors, poor workmanship. There have been contractors, this is no place. We've checked a lot of numbers. What are we checking now? We're checking quality to ensure that the house can sell. Sometimes emerging contractors did pick up some interesting challenges. And obviously, when the housing unit stands alone, I mean, in Cape Town the other day, we've had the invasion of houses, if you remember that. Transfer of land, and obviously, in terms of the next year, the enrollment of projects sometimes is a challenge. Chair, I thought I'd bring those to the table, and if there's any questions, I will try and answer as far as I can, but I know that we've got a very competent team here. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you very much, the president, I think you will look at the meeting. I don't think you have given justice conversation because he said, well, it has got a lot of information. And it has got the implications, not of us are being over that. And in terms of all of that. Because I think that where we need to put an emphasis as the members of parliament. So I would urge the department that linger to you because we will have to take this information primary to our mandate. Members, do you have any questions? Thank you. Honorable Staines and Foles and Honorable Bowden and Namdana. Claim 2.8 because those people finally have a real figure of what to be delivered.
And this ceremony is not so clear to your village that you complete the form. Thank you.
I want to say as a new member of this committee, I'm greatly encouraged by what I hear. That, you know, the systems that we've got going, I just hope we've got proper backup systems because it must be disastrous if we do the information. I just want to ask where municipalities are weak and they're unable to supply information and, you know, they lack the capacity. What assistance the department gives them? Because it seems, you know, from the classes we've seen where there are really problematic areas, it seems unfair that the beneficiaries, people who should be benefiting from the housing, don't actually benefit simply because of lack of capacity on the ground. And then the slide shows a block projects, some of them going back a number of years. Do we know, you mentioned the EIA, for example, you want to understand how these things do happen. Have we got an idea of just what the problems are with the blockages, or do we just know that they've been there for a long time? I want to just make a comment when we talk about quality of housing. And this is a big problem. But our housing projects are supposed to be giving job opportunities to the locals. And so this necessarily needs to be linked to some sort of skills training in the building industry. And I want to just say, coming from a municipality who really is working, that that is sorely lacking. And in the project certainly that I was involved in, we were not able to get skills training for the people on the ground. And I think that is critically important. Because that's what results in the poor workmanship at the end of the day as well.
Though I came late, but there are some other things that I'm interested in. So I'm not very much impressed about the number of houses that are built, but because they are 99% of them of a very poor quality, and as strange as it may be, we continue building these poor quality houses and count the number of houses that we have delivered so many houses to our people. This includes the so-called VIP toilets that are built and attached to these houses. I have not found a justification for building these so-called VIP toilets, which in my opinion are very insulting and denigrating to our people. I'm sure when you plan a project and plan a house, you can always find a way of attaching these toilets into the house. And not as they are. Some of them are just terrible. And also, I want to go back to the quality of houses. That we don't seem to be improving in building these houses, because those projects have got these poor quality houses. They are cracking, they are falling apart, they are everything. And we both, like you, we are going to repair them. And we spend more money repairing. I think one of the reasons maybe is that we spend more money on construction. Constructions are just they are stealing the government a lot. They take more money than the money that is spent on building houses. They are the people who benefit more than people who have owned these houses. And it seems to be, and we don't seem to be improving on this. So I would like to get answers on this, especially these poor houses.
Thank you very much. The frustration that the members are having because things that are happening on the ground are totally dissatisfactory. But I think most of the questions, DG is going to be here tomorrow morning. He has to answer most of the questions. But I think Mr. Jaran can touch on these areas, but because of time constraints, we need not to join much. Because we still have enough time with the DG tomorrow. But they are taking their stretch length. They have to answer for this policy issues. They have to answer for the issues of job creation. They have to tell us tomorrow what are their plans that are aligned with the state of the nation on defense job creation. Thank you. Over to you.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'll answer a couple of them, and Mr. Zabantu is also here. He will also assist. He will actually assist a number of them. With regard to the same question, in terms of the number of challenges identified and how we want to overcome them, I agree with you that we are building on that. There is presentation along those lines. We just thought, in terms of the time constraints, of going to the challenge and tell you what we have done. I mean, there's a number of things that we've done, and very clear. Also, with regards to the numbers, I think the suggestion that you make that we're splitting the two numbers and the two budgets, very good idea. So let's run that past our ministry and see how we come back, because that's very good idea. And then we present in touch. Thanks very much. With regards to beneficiaries versus delivery, I think it's an important question that was raised here. But you must also remember that the policy now allows for houses to be built without beneficiary impact. So the beneficiary has been identified, but it's not put into their house. So this is some of the challenges that we are facing. So how do we bring them close to each other? That's the first question and the first answer. And the other answer is also a relationship of a 3-year development cycle that is in the project. But what you say is a critical point. And one of the things that we're talking on a continuous basis at Minmec and technical Minmec is to say to bring this number to us. Point that, thank you very much. With regards to interventions, yes, I agree with you, and we have gone through this process, and you wanted to know in this entire process how do we plan to do the whole 2.8. What we thought on doing is that if we understand 30% of the challenges out there, it would give us, otherwise it will be so much money that we're spending and just to verify what we've booked. So it sort of was a catch-22, and it was very difficult. So we thought, let's do a 30% sample and see to where what extent have we done. If you take the 30% sample and you look at the numbers of transfers that's already been done, we're talking 70-75% here of what you actually have. And that gives you a much more closer answer to that. So the second stage of this thing is when Chahalki then took this process over into the beneficiaries that have come. So that will then finish up with the rest of the process and gone beyond what is actually expected. So it will take then care of the rest of the initiative and build on top of what we have already. The alternative, it will also include the quality of housing, it will also include understanding the beneficiary and the process. So we take your point and thank you very much for that. It gives us a sense of where also where you want to see this thing go. With regards to backup systems, man, yes, we are, this is one of the things that we've done, we're centralizing all of this information, we have backups, we have offsite backups of the information. On a continuous basis, we are changing versions so that we have the capability and capacity to move information, because information movability is one of the critical areas where we have seen previously where we failed. We've given provinces a server or an information set, and what we've seen is that nobody is maintaining that, and we've changed that. We are now in the process, along with CITA, to maintain it in a much more appropriate way. Your question in regards to the weak municipalities, how do we help them? There's a number of areas. The provinces engages with them, train them, we train them, we have gone through many training sessions. We've allowed them to have access to a website where they capture information. They have access to an online, to our staff members, our support team. So yes, they have access to that. Not always do they use it as effectively as we would like them to use, but they can. With regards to DOC project, I'm not sure if the ones who really want to take over. The EIAs that we have got, do we have any idea of the boxes? Yes, we have an idea of those boxes, and we engage with provinces in terms of those boxes, in those different performance and those different quarterly assessments and those reviews, we engage with provinces. We're not only going there on a quarterly basis. Once we've identified in that quarterly performance assessment where there's a province that has difficulties, Mpumalanga, Eastern Cape, and you name them, Limpopo. Then we engage specifically with that province, and we go down to that province, go and visit those projects to see what, how we can do that. We've also, Mr. Clavant, that the number of stages has created teams that go to the province for a week or two, sit with the province, and then sort out the difficulty. Not long ago, we had a difficulty in Northwest with a specific project. And we have immediately set the team up. The team stayed there for 2.5 weeks, registered the people, and gone into the process of making sure that we unblock the blockage. So the moment that we identify that, we deal with that very, very clearly. Quality of houses, in terms of job opportunities, I think is one of the questions that you asked around about job opportunities. And then the quality of houses, I do agree with you, sir. There's a number of houses where the quality is so poor, and I think it is one of those things that we really want to change.
I think that's a good thing. With respect to the issue, I think the issue of quality is very important. That's one is to understand the health of the situation and the life of their members. I put it to anything because quite a lot of the quality of the historical to a large extent of the people who are quiet. I am not saying in a new project there may not be cases where there is still quality challenges. We are aware of the price. Which I know should be limited, should be reduced to an absolute minimum. For example, that means we're having at various stages and across the country between the NHPRC, for example, in their role of ensuring that we deliver for having that limited and not the standards that are expected for the warranty institutions. Those things are okay. They are part of the process that has been built. What may be problematic at this stage is perhaps the frequency of the current of the dispute, but we understand that because the HPRC has been introduced in the process quite late, they are likely going to be increased at a high level of control. But they don't reflect, they absolutely reflect a change in a shift in the implementation process. We effectively say, now that HPRC engaged in this thing, they will find this thing early on in the process. Sometimes take action, sometimes those actions get pronounced as a much later system of process. But I think over time, those things will hopefully will be reduced. Secondly, in the houses built in the last 5 years, we want to believe that the market is fair to those that are built before. I'm not saying they are not isolated cases where they are fixing the challenges. Where the bulk of the challenges is where we are fixing them are the historical ones that come from those areas. I think we should have accounted for yesterday in the discussion. Simply because at the start of the program, there were no known standards and children. Some of those things, for example, created the blockages that we are talking about here. For a period of almost 5 to 6 years, the subsidy amount was fixed. Rather than fixing any year, yet there was an inflation environment that we had. We fixed that. It's now in September, and we take into account the appropriate energy indices that are there, that are relevant. And sort of construction sector and labor portions of those. But what I'm saying is, once those projects were blocked because of those reasons, some of which could relate to this issue of inflation and adjustment, and therefore you couldn't justify building the house of the size and standard with the same amount that was allocated 5 years ago. So those kinds of things. What we're doing with those is we get people, professionals, to calculate the cost of finishing those projects. The way it is feasible to do so. Why it is not feasible, then maybe the project will reduce the risk factor. We can avoid it because sometimes it may cost you more to try to convene on something that is not going to work, which might result in quality challenges in any case. I'm sure even tomorrow we may come back to this. But I do want to indicate that we have taken note of the concern and we do want to assure the members, at least from judge the department from what we have based on what is planning going forward, and we'll be in a position to see the changes that have been affected by the policies and pathologies. I think in that regard, I would think that the other comment was noted. As I said yesterday, the inputs of the committee are going to be very consistent and critical and we complete the plan for the next idea that will come as part of the year process. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I think there's a lot of conversation here. And we need to accept it, but for now, we're not today. As I'm saying, we are people who have continuous engagement with you until you come up with solutions. Otherwise, today, we don't have solutions. Let's agree that today, we don't have solutions to this issue, but we'll continue engaging until you come up with proper solutions that we think that they are going to assist us to take this task that we've been given ahead. And then, let's say, Johan, thank you very much for the presentation. And let's get to social housing, and PhD presentation.
Thank you. for accommodation for the affordable rental housing for the poor.
on the social housing program, there are policies, there are guidelines, and there is an approved social housing act between 2008. On the CRU program, we have a policy that was approved in December 2006, and we do have guidelines. And last year, we have the National Rental Housing Strategy. On the background of the strategy, the National Department of Housing introduced the Rental Housing Program as one of its initiatives towards eradication of housing backlogs to provisional rental housing for low income persons who cannot be accommodated in common private rental housing. There are two programs that were essentially introduced, that is the CRU social housing, but during the development and approval of the two programs, a range of issues in fact seriously emerged, but the main issue was that how do we align the needs to upskill the level of the capital while providing for the required access and affordability of the poor for the housing. But also there was an outstanding presidential announcement for support to promote the densification of the rental areas on well-located land, which will provide for access to public transport and appropriate employment opportunities. There was also the building charge of a pilot farming project, which aims to deliver 50,000 units of medium income housing and other options. To address the various issues, and another strategy was developed and approved in March 2008 and was included before. This strategy does not only serve as an initiative which attempts to provide a way forward of upscaling inequality, which is the main challenge of affordable rentals, but also provides for better guidance on the approach and support system to be used to contain the government's rental housing program. There are two main objectives, therefore. The first one being clearing the rental housing scheme, that is applying the rental housing to meet the demand in the country, and to address affordability and access issues for lower income groups to rental housing. While for many of the strategies there were issues that were considered, and in short, it was discovered that given the socio-economic demographics, the migration pattern, the rapid rate of urbanization, the demand for rental housing. And it was said that it discovered that a pair of low-income rental housing measures, which provide for rentals, are in fact checked and informal settlements. And also that the poor status are facing the rental opportunities provided by the formal market, especially in good locations. There are certain slides that have passed, and I will summarize in the slide that I'm talking to now is on page 6 of the presentation. I think the slide number 6. What is being said on this slide is that starting with the oil demand, we said that half of the households who rent have a monthly income of less than 3,500 per month, 37% of the single households, and between 18% to 20% of rented units in South Africa are shared. Renting is most common in Gauteng, and this problem accounts for 37% of the households who rent their units. But what is critical is that in Gauteng, close to 50% of the households who rent are in shared rented yards, which then provides for inadequate conditions of living. Our last is the metro, accounts for 55% of the net dwelling. But also the number of households in terms of the survey, it appears to have increased over 5% per annum between 2002 and 2006. However, the primary increase has been met by sex and barriers, which is unacceptable. But also on the survey, it was reflected that demand is likely to grow significantly in lower income segments. In fact, it was indicated that the demand will be rising by 7% per annum for the income groups we are looking at the aftershock, due to the nature of service death, the property boom, and it was indicated further that based on the current boom, the demand is projected to grow at more than 100,000 per annum, and it should be required to be provided by 2011. And that takes to there indicates the spread of the unit and height. All the limitations to deliver to affordable rental housing. On the program, there are institutions that were produced or developed, but they have challenges in delivering or even producing the projects that are required in number. They would, on average, produce project sizes of 200 to 400 units, which did not align with the demand. There were certain challenges that were experienced by these institutions, including the overhead expenses, staffing operational costs, that escalated beyond the point where affordable housing was provided. Also, the institution experienced delays in productivity due to land and buildings being inaccessible. And there was also limited technical capacity, specifically that of project planning, development, and packaging. This led to low demand. These are simply the challenges to the institution. Also, the funding has also been based on the active on the next project, and also the appetite of the social housing institutions, which does not cater for our demand. The private sector funders are interested in investing in social housing for lower and middle income. However, they view low income and have a potential to do it. So they are interested in investing in this sector. The non-profit sector is also moving slowly out of the lower income housing sector to the more attractive middle and higher income rental housing market. In public hostels and other public rental housing units, there have been challenges with the development of the project, the main challenge being the maintenance. Although it is by public housing rental units, we are referring to units that are owned by the municipalities and the provincial housing department. The challenge there has been with the property management services related to the collection of rents and other issues and levies so that they could maintain the building. The role and contribution of small landlords, which is also important in addressing our demand, has not been harnessed, and we felt that this needs to be harnessed, especially when one has to meet the demand or the requirements of the people who earn less than 800. As I've indicated that the demand for rental housing is more than the supply in the country, there are certain dysfunctionalities in the market, and we consider that we need to deal with the dysfunctionalities in the market by producing development opportunities at the right speed. To engage the national imperative of upscale delivery, we need to proactively source projects at the scale, which is currently what we are doing. In the same, which is the mix of subsidy, equity, and loans, both from government and all other funders. And all the three government spheres, business to co-own, support, and facilitate the program. We also propose that we need to look for mega project opportunities that embrace inclusion housing and cultural participation by private sector and hands. One of the most important was that we need to have targets and specifically look and go into the two programs and the complementary support initiatives. The complementary support initiatives in this case are meant to cater for or accommodate the group that is earning less than 800, because it has been discovered that in terms of CRU, although it caters for this group, it is a bit difficult, so we need some other complementary initiatives. Also, we indicated that we needed the targeted project targeting capacities, both at all levels of government, and also we need to
question. This capacity will help us to be able to project, target our project and deliver it again. We also need to ensure that there's the financial support for the program at all levels, specifically at municipal level, including the rollout of the regular housing program. We also felt that we needed to understand the program and identify the location and come up with some measures to deal with them. Firstly, the first would be the set target, which has been done, set up a project pipeline and look at the turnover of the project and develop a comprehensive financial strategy which reflects on the flow of funds between the three institutions or spheres of government and the institutions that are supporting the government in delivery of better housing. We needed to target as many partners and volunteers as possible. I've talked about the training and technical capacities. However, we also needed to have a turnaround strategy to deal with the turnaround of the said institutions. What happened before was that institutions, due to the problems I mentioned before, they could not deliver and could not deliver specifically on my own project when it's sustainable. What we're saying today was that we need a turnaround strategy of the research institutions and further put in place some monitoring and evaluation mechanisms so that they don't go back to the things where they are and they can deliver on the project. What is more important was putting buy-in into the strategy, and we needed to come up with interventions that can sustain the program. The interventions that are proposed on the strategy are that we need to look very carefully on the public sector housing market. In this case, through the CRU, what is it that we need to do with the CRU in terms of developing the unit and maintaining the unit? Secondly, we needed to look at the private sector housing market, which in this case, in terms of our program, is the social housing program. What is it that we needed to do to enhance delivery on the ground of the program and further to sustain the program? And then the third one, to provide for access for lower and income groups, we needed to have complete complementary initiatives. As I've indicated, the interventions have been the two programs, the community residential units and the social housing unit. This is our program focus. And on the complementary initiatives, what we are doing and we've been involved in is that we need to look at the faith-based organizations and enhance their initiatives before the landlords, the care themselves. And also we need to focus on the private sector participation. We need to look carefully on the cross-subsidization issue. All this requires that we have clear funding and project targeting strategies. We need to have coordinated efforts and capacity building. What has happened so far? We have looked at the faith-based organizations. We have set on a task team on the small-scale laws on the task. And also, we have set down the smaller task team on the private sector participation, which we call it incentive task team. Our target for the 5-year plan, the strategy for the 5-year plan is to deliver 100,000 units in 5 years, as I've indicated, broken up into 25,000 units of social housing, which and 25,000 units of CRU. On the 75,000 units of social housing, we are saying 70% of those units should be the new build, and then 30% should be the conversion of, and then we say 25,000 units of CRU. And approximately a minimum of 50% of the units should be affordable units. On the delivery imperative, to increase the pipeline and support the program, we propose that in each and every province, there should be a prices of certain expertise, mostly from the government, but also from legal and specialists in mental health. The main purpose of this task team was to say that we don't really have information on the demand for rental. They will help us to establish the demand for rental, and also will help us to identify the land that is available, and basically do our feasibility, the business plans for the project, and start up potential financial services for the project. What has happened so far is that only content has been able to have this multi-system custom, but this financial year we're telling that all the provinces should be doing this, and there is a budget for that. On the unit spread, we believe that there should be a proportional unit spread between all the delivery agents that are mentioned on the policies of the department. Your social housing institutions, your social housing institutions for profit and non-profit, your social housing PPPs and municipal entities, and CRU and mega projects. What is important is that we should be able to allow for a mix of new builds, refurbishment, conversions, redevelopment in our modeling approach. But what is important is to add to the required numbers, we need more new builds. That slide is just to indicate the unit space on what we foresee on the approach to the units to lead to the 100. If we spread these units as the amounted slide on the bottom, that's the case on the 100,000 units, we are saying if we spread them that way, we will be able to achieve our 100,000 units. The proposed financial model, on the social housing program, there are three funders. The first one is through the National Department of Housing, the restructuring capital fund, which was the National Department of Investment. And there's also the top-up from provinces. The two accounts almost for 50% of funding of the program, and also through debt and equity funding. CRU is funded totally with a capital facility, and which includes subsidy for maintenance after 5 years. That slide indicates the financial requirements. In short, what we indicate there is that to achieve or deliver on the 100,000 units we propose, we will need an amount of 26 billion. And from the calculations and the grant, only about 40 billion can be coming from government. So a lot of work needs to be done to get some support from funders and the private sector. There are funding options that we looked at. The first one, looking at, I think I've talked about this, collaboration between the funding commission, government and the provinces, which is being done. The second one is just for external allocation from treasury. The business case was developed for this one, it was done. We are currently looking at other sources of funding, including the international donor bank and other funders across the government system. The institutional arrangements. We have a sister response that we call Social Housing and PHP, which is responsible for the Radar Housing Program. There are two directorates there, which are, this is why the other one is responsible for PHP, and my colleague will be presenting on PHP. The two directorates are, which is Public, Private, and Health Development, and the Resource Support are solely responsible for the Radar Housing Program. We also use the national agencies, social housing coordination, which is responsible for social housing, and the first teacher, Sparta, and the others to support the program. We do use as a general support to also enhance to implement the implementation of the program. What being wrong with trust and the EU. The answers that we have developed to provide for participation of the medical municipalities and the program. As that diagram indicates, the institutional arrangements as I've indicated the private central housing development and public, which provide for technical support, the public sector support, and the sector funding support. This is also done together with donor support and national agency support. The other directorate, which is the regulatory support, deals with basically the rental sector performance and development of deals, your tenant and landlord issues. And then they also deal with the turnaround interventions to the social housing institutions. I talked about also the participation of the metros and the provinces into this program. What has happened was that we set up the national social housing task team, which looked at the issues of alignment. There are certain sub task teams. One is looking at the technical support. The other one is looking at funding, coming up with funding strategies. The others are looking at your backyard and also the incentives. At the provincial level, to facilitate project targeting, what we are doing is that all the nine provinces have provincial steering committees that is to look at the project packages, which includes your national department of housing, the provinces, municipalities, and the social housing institutions. On the regulatory support, there are provisions, except there are the department is establishing the trust. The management arrangement on the program, we have the number one as the Internet Social Housing Program, which this program was initiated before the Social Housing Act was passed. It had provisions for interim arrangements for the implementation of social housing. It was managed by the Social Housing Foundation. What was happening there was that there were projects that were identified that could be implemented and of course funded by the International Department of Housing through the Infrastructure Capital Plan. But also in that program there's a capacitation of FHI. The second program is the public sector support program. Mainly this one deals with capacitation of the government department that includes the national government, the provincial and the municipalities to implement the program. There has been funding there from Rome to implement that program. Also, we have the social housing technical support, the research and development, and the turnaround support. I'll talk about on this one. On the concluding remarks, I would like to mention that in line with the national adult strategy, the basis for sustaining the government adult housing program has been correct, or we're almost up to date. There has been the regulation framework that has been passed and created. There's a funding strategy in place. We are working on the project, the pipeline, the pipeline project. There are formalized institutional arrangements which I've talked to. We are still working on the alignment issues between sector volunteers. We are looking at having the rental housing in Java, which we'll be looking at getting more support financially and more investment on the government's rental housing program. Also, as I've indicated, we have the multidisciplinary task team that will be working the provinces, including the issues of land availability, which is still a challenge. And also, we are looking, and the people are doing, creating the data pipeline project I've talked about is being prioritized. We are still looking at confirming and approving the PR from the special zones or the special zones. And we are confirming that we will need to do the primary tasking. We're focusing on project packaging and the issues of property management and maintenance. Right now, we've been called to develop the guidelines on property management, focusing mainly on the role of the municipalities, which we are doing. We are communicating the strategy at different levels to secure agreements. We have proposed that the provinces should also develop their own rental housing strategies for us to reflect on the demand and how they are going to align their delivery initiative to the national development target. There are complementary initiatives that have been indicated. Thank you.
We
the slides that indicated that is indicated in the project, 50% of it to be affordable units. I'm not too sure what the intention is. The intention is 50% will be subsidized and the other 50 will be market related. So that's my question. And lastly, as I was writing down the question, the presenter actually touched on it. I have a question regarding the what I believe, again, in the light of past history, ambitious goals to be the home on mental health. And my question that I started writing was whether the budget was available and then the presenter, as I hope, started touching on alternative sources of funds. But once again, it's going to depend on that alternative sources. And like I said, if we don't create the environment for us and try it, that is one of them, then it's certainly not going to happen. Thank you, Chair, and thanks to the presenter. Chair, I'll try not to be diplomatic because I'm expecting an anti-diplomatic answer in a moment. With the rental housing, social housing project, there's an offer in here, which is called a public offer. We were told about the year ago that Cool goes to release the hospital development program. And I remember my mission was saying was the problem is there are in the crew, whether it represents the financial or agenda. Because, Chair, if you look at the question, how there are about 52 hospitals. And before a hospital problem is started, it was described in social economic studies at the time to find out what are the social economic conditions of implemented, what kind of tenure they want. And 99% of all of us said they want ownership, they want to stay there, they want to be permanent. They don't want to be rented, they don't want to be rented. They will not go back with the previous government. But every policy is not talking to them. It assumes people want to rent. For instance, if you look at Johannesburg and Middle East Hotel, because there are about 15,000 residents. The social workers are there with a large asset, residents want to be permanent residents. They don't want convention, upgrading, or renovation. They want eradication into proper, whether it's called community residential units, but they want it to be turned from a single dormitory, communal hostel into a proper community. But the point is not talking to them. It's pretending as if people still want to rent out. So I don't want to get an answer to say, do we have, because here we're dealing with an anomaly, a part of the apartheid. These hostels are located in the back of the design for a new supply. Therefore, people who are there want to be, that's the good example. If you say yes, you do have. You're going to turn this into, let me take a practical example, Jamal Hotel. They made a proposal to upgrade the hotel. And when they come with this crew point, about 96% of them said we're not going to qualify as beneficiaries. Therefore, for me, the police was not talking to the residents. We need to change that. My direct question is, do we have a policy in mind? Because crew, I was also hoping that crew was going to identify that, but it's not. Do we have a willingness or a policy in place to make sure that we do want to call with the hostel, but in line with what hostel residents in hostel want, not what we think they want? Because rent is not really an option, because as I said, to all your stakeholders are going, about 99% of them, people they want to have ownership and not rent or for the extension.
Thank you, Jefferson. Thank you for your presentation. You talked about 100,000 units that you're going to spread for. My question is, how are you going to spread it all for all the provinces? Those 100,000 units.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation. I think some of my questions you're taking.
people can rent their house for 5 years, and then after 5 years they can buy it. Thank you. Okay. Do you want me to repeat? Actually, my question is around rent to buy, where you maybe for 5 years you rent a house, and then after 5 years you can buy it in a discount. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I think I noted all the concerns regarding the issue of our term of life, and my apologies to the collector. And also, I think it, that there was an issue about the PPP. This is what we are honestly trying to look at, but there have been challenges that have been experienced in terms of many delivery agents are indicating that the laws on the way the procedures of the National Treasury are a challenge to them, which makes it very difficult for them to enter into the PPP and sustain the delivery. But we are looking at this, and there are some municipalities and some agencies that have entered into them. But for them, they are indicating that it is a challenge, but it's there. On the issue of the increase in jobs, I think I'm taking the suggestion that there should be millennial growth. In fact, we were thinking, I think that is a very good suggestion, because we were municipalities are not, some of them are not able to maintain their stock, and in that way, we have been advising them that in terms of the policy, they can outsource this. So for close job creation, the medical group, we will take the suggestion, and thank you. We also noted the suggestions of the time. On the question of the 50% of the intention, the 50% affordable target is about the target group that we are saying that, so that the program is not subject to misuse, and people take the people that are earning more, and to the advantage of the people that are earning less. We say to them they must provide for the 50% because that way they will be able to transform into the target group. That is what we are saying. And also it does indicate that the more facilities there is, there is more subsidy for the program. On the alternative sources of funds, there was an issue that we need to keep the environment. As indicated that at our level, what we've done was to form a certain task team, which includes mainly the funders and other investors, to say to them, what is it that we can do? What is it that you need us to do or come up with as government to provide for your needs? So that it's like the balance in the river. This is what is called the incentive system, something which refers to the regional social housing system. On the public hostel, the community residential program is was named specifically for the public hostel, which for me, it doesn't really open the public hostel. In fact, it accommodates them, both in terms of the public hostel as being the government, and also what we call the free hostels, where we have hostels that are owned by government and maybe then owned by the private sector. We don't, what there was, the question was that do we have a policy in line to make sure that there's provision for ownership in terms of hostels. We don't have that in line for that. For us, what we're saying, because we as government are investing a lot of money in the community residential unit program with accommodate for hotels. This will remain in the ownership of government. The unit must remain in the ownership of government. That is in the municipalities of the provincial government, because that program is 100% subsidized. This is also to accommodate for the future rental needs of the country. On the 100,000 units, each and every province has their license, they are assured with the document, in fact, they need under that of the strategy. Because we have in each and every province allocated units. That is determined by the demand as it was perceived in terms of the survey. I don't know if I should go through each and every province, but that has been provided for. But we said to be realistic, each and every province, or to meet the demand in each and every province, they also need to come up with their own strategy, investigate their needs so that they can tell us exactly how many units they will need and how they will deliver them. That's what we are doing and involved with now. And also, this is assisted by the work of the multidisciplinary task team. The rent to buy option, the two programs, and in terms of the national rental strategy, we do not really, in the national rental strategy, we don't really provide for the rent to buy ownership. The two programs for CRU and social housing are rental. But there is a test program which I mentioned before, which has provisions for rent to buy. But this has been a challenge because I don't know if it has something to do with the issue of this agreement or what Mr. Zabatu, but this has been a challenge because institutions don't really are not succeeding in doing this at some point. But what we are doing is a rental strategy is to provide for rental only.
Thank you very much. Now for
thank you very much. I think that question of, so I think in the discussion that future has discussed at the as well as the negotiation towards the development of the strategy, there were things that were talked about. I don't know if to answer very difficult questions that arise if you were to accommodate. Not to say they are not going to be accidentally accommodated, but we need to resolve some of those things that we have. For example, ownership in the CRU. With regard to the institutional mechanism for ensuring that those things that ensure that those units after ownership are then adequately maintained over a period for the benefit of all, where we necessarily would have as an outcome of applying all of these options, including the option to buy from value. It's something that can first be considered on the basis of after all considerations around the institutional social rights. If, for example, you were to have a unit partly owned and partly maintained, you need to then deal with the issue of how to manage the municipal payment for rates and taxes, which for example in a full year and a unit are dealt with through an institution that manages on behalf of all the residents of that unit. I'm just saying in that case there's been a difference of trip because you have to recognize that you're dealing with a size proportion of indigenous people and therefore you need to make sure that whatever institution you put in place with regard to dealing with that after that and remove the potential for conflict that may arise, where even the one who owns do not get a good value in terms of appreciation of the value of the property because of the conditions that are not made by the institution. So I think that is the thing, I would presume that after the special balance, all of these appropriate and proposal that we have. And that I think your input would be a big time in trying to find solutions to that issue. I do I'm not certain that the one for that question of 50%. The 50% is about targeting, so that you can ensure that when we see the the tendency, because we're promoting we're promoting all contributions from the private sector. And investors, which is part of building the strategy, have to work with government and what that allows for them to be comfortable that they can put their money in the development of the rental housing unit. For government to invest in that, then we say, we do not necessarily take an intent of subsidies, capital and contribution for people who can afford, who are working, who are in the high income bracket. But if you have to build a mix of those in order to reduce the risk of the cover and collection, then we will only invest from government to the extent that we're dealing with you, that we have to assist. And that's where the 50-50 model comes. And at some point, obviously, based on the tender process, it is 40-50, it will have to look at the investment. But we think that government is present in the rest to be dealt with. So, as part of the regulation, the monitoring, one of the work of the regulator will be to ensure that each of those meets that requirement, but that is the precondition for funding by government. That we want to get a database of your address at any point in time to have 50% of them qualifying to fund. And if you maintain that they're not coming for granted with their funds, if you don't want them, they're punished to the balance. That's really what it is.
Thank you very much, sir. I think that going back to the end of our presentation, we look at the next presentation, which was supposed to be a debate presentation. I think we still have to get some time to get this information, because with the coordinator, we fought a lot through the office of the secretary. But it was not our fault as the corporate economy, but it's the problem of the pressure on the parliamentary program for this period. The coordinator has been insisting that we take two footing for this information session. But unfortunately for us, we have the time pressure, so we need to come back again. It is after June or mid-July, we will be able to have enough time. Otherwise, this is very much important. Can we take 10 minutes for two, because see you right outside, and then we come back. We will see you at manage.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I've just been saying that back to my colleague in the week of time, we've been taken, I'm going to try to be nice and brave on the presentation. During yesterday's information, strangely came up now in the day. And I asked myself, wow, but maybe I should go along and answer after the end of the day. I'd like to highlight the fact that we should bear in mind that this is an inherent responsibility of policy and for the income work that we need to do in the department to keep up with the policy. This is the background, this is the first policy. As you can see, the first one that was implemented by the department was in May 1998, which was made with the followed up by the second one that took place in September 2005, and the one that we're going to be sharing.
2008, and we currently finalizing the related guidelines for the provinces that introduce the new. We're going to share a little bit of density policies so that we are all including the council and take it forward. If I go back to this, the review process of the 2005 was based on the 2005 framework, as well as the implementation guideline that led to the comprehensive consent. What is PhD? The comprehensive consent, I know that it's from when we have told it yesterday a little bit. The comprehensive plan says the plan basically outlines the need for the development of a sustainable human settlement and embrace the people contract as a basis for the human. Another important element of this policy is that to build and call for support for housing microfinance sector. Members of the community resource organization system, which are an elevated sector, so they call it elevated sector, this from what we used to do in the past, the housing support center. We also emphasize that the opportunity for residential housing in both of them is important. I remember yesterday, as I was saying, the CHC was talking about 10 old families. Over and above the issue that they have projects, so the new projects are better than the CHC. Today, you know, those projects are classified as CHC and, you know, some old as well. But what we also done that in places whereby we have CHC successful, we documented and share those lessons. And somewhere, somehow, those are the lessons that we took out to take into the public and to our students. What is the principle? The program covers a focus and initiative of both individuals and communities to come together for the study and the safety process. We recognize the role that we play as NGOs, faith-based organizations, faith-based organizations, the whole house of humanitarian. The program is being expressed in community. There were a number of projects that failed in the past into the issue of not being sustainable. But what the intent is for this project was to ensure that there is sustainability for this people. Colleagues also intend to be trained to PhD. Based on the lessons then, what is the definition of what we learned from the past? As well as the definition of the PhD. The provincial and local level. Basic principle, redirect and redesign PhD, establishment of a new funding mechanism for PhD to address community disabilities. Remember, in the past, we still have to use the PhD, but normally, especially the provincial level, so the case of home, because so much money that we have for control and use, let's do PhD. But the application would fall under the administration committee that we should get an indicated sector of basic elements of PhD. And the reason for this is that the monitoring and evaluation element is also very critical. Government should be in a position to say we've implemented so much in the first PhD content, and this is the impact that we get in our problem. The provision of sufficient dedicated institutional support, so we have to talk about this in the next stage. The empowerment of communities and the need to build strong sustainable partnerships, and to create an engaging environment. We should capacitate our communities to understand that they can consider even after completing the project, they should be in a position to go and realize it and have some form of economic and the capacity that we deserve. The critical element of this policy is advocating for tax subsidy, tax dollars and deficit. Subsidy allows for an analysis of kids to be able to be measured as a new set of policies, the LME component comes in. Emphasis on project preparation and training allows for early warning signals about this. Project management calls for planning 80% of the work, and then if you plan that, I think that you have many customers in your own community. If you plan that, which makes up of 80% of our work, the implementation part is 20% in slow nicely. So what's the application for business policy say? What is the municipal level that problems to be extended as far as before we start to play? Is it a case of the defense state that we implement the project more? That is very important. Okay, also there's also the warranty screen that I left out, and that is also on the slide. In the past, in the PhD, NHBRC holds the PhD was only for the combination, but what is saying for the PhD is also involved in NHBRC to also be part of the process, especially for the cost transfer. So the department is currently in negotiations with the NHBRC to also, you know, within the warranty screen, so let it also include the cost factor of the PhD house to address the family. It outlines, clearly outlines roles and responsibilities on which are down to community based organizations. And that includes policy and municipality, CFOs and beneficiaries, the policy outlines to strengthen the relationship through an ongoing contact with your communication, what is it with our actual goal? CHP allows an integrated approach. And I know our minister emphasizes the fact that we are now human settlement, so the need for us to, when we build, we should give our settlement a human face and a human heart. So, you know, that's an integrated approach. Thank you from there as well. The program stands in South Australia, Minister of Civil Society, through the Commission of the CFO, to have customers in their home. In a slight funding concern, the enhanced fiscal policy advocates for a dedicated capital subsidy for PhD, and that capital funding would include the subsidy for PhD, or obviously there would be some special enhancements, geotech, which are connected to the municipal funding, less infrastructure here in we call under this capital funding. There's also capacity building funding. The capacity building within the policy is at a different level. During the project as well as post the project. So we want the beneficiaries or the recipients of the housing to really look after, take care of the neighborhood when we finish building. Community contribution is not only talking about the spread of the neighborhood in the area. Being bringing aside the leadership, participation, and ownership, you should be part as a consensus community, part of the process of the appointment of the CFO. The department is going to go through a process whereby we identify the community resource organization and put it on a database whereby per province can be set. And the CFO's role will be to assist the community in terms of financial management, general management, technical support, all of the things that are needed in administration. The same contribution to agencies, so you know, there are some entities like the Government, Home and People Federation, who stay either on a weekly or monthly basis. They stay for a period of time and then bring in their money, and that whatever they spend, they normally use it for the enhancement to their administration, putting in extra. Singing or whatever it is, so the daily contribution is also called for it. In terms of the material contribution, we say we won't accept the material contribution, but then it adheres to the basic colors. But in the past, we used to have problems that we contribute the windows that are not, you know, and to them, they make a contribution. So we say we just ensure that the windows that are, you know, whatever materials that the beneficiaries are about funding, there was a proposal recently whereby GM workers were also involved, over and above the subsidy amount. So the employees of GM workers received a certain amount of money and they were able to do add-on to their unit. They didn't pay for the institution that they got from their employment. Community centers demonstrate knowledge and expertise, initiative. We come from far and far and being creative as South African. So we find the people who have the gardens or whatever. That is also one for the contribution. Community volunteers, we talk about the interns, the learnership, the consultation, the habitat is 92 the leadership. Raising finance for each of the sustainability, the issues bring in the element of raising finance. Mobilized by the pro, but it may be supported by the department to access that funding. Current status today is that this policy, as I indicated when I started, it was approved just in July. Today we have draft implementation guidelines in the table. We'll be working on the funding model, finalizing the funding model, and our target for this kind of financial year is that we should test this implementation policy. And deliver at least 3,000 units at this time for the initial year. But these 3,000 units would be spread among the 9 families. And I think this is a slide. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
I think local education is the. I think the members who are attending will agree with me that that is the policy that they think is to be an improvement, the PHP. But I think we need to engage more. Because we have been crying foul when the minister was announcing that they are going to do this is something, the PHP. What was the PHP?
PHP.
Yeah, whatever it is. But now, seemingly there is something that will be going to assist more especially the build more houses, more so than in our area. Where we are going to use the PHP program in the whole area. But I think we need to ensure that the department can engage in a more awareness campaign. You must intensify your awareness campaign on this program. Otherwise, I'm going to take the term from the member. And I think to be followed by
learn IT.
have to plan long to a private owner. Who is so much private in this country? All the time. And the second part, that's why it's problematic, is the planning level. I need to understand that there is a degree of partnership. Starting at what level, I would know for now. But I think that would be very, very important, because at the planning stage, you know, the community will come together without inviting anyone, without inviting the national house or whatever. And they do their own thing. And they see, you know, what they want, and they put it on paper. They don't even think of approaching whoever. They don't even think that they're a professional. They think they are. The lack of cooperation from the council level also contribute towards collapsing of those efforts. And some of the communities, I won't give these details now, informal communities, as part of their initiative, assist in making sure that at least this 2014 plan is implemented and a target is met. But I think as far as I know, some of them, they say not 2014, but 2013. So, the last one I would like to highlight is this. You know, I want to know the difference between the NGO's role and community resource organization and the big role as well. Yeah, the last one again would be the long process that is taken by this housing process. Would it be a problem to shorten the tunnel? Because people want houses now. At least in 2 years' time, if not now, that would really make sense.
Thank you, Chair. This is an area that I'm not terribly familiar with. So I want you just to understand this whole process. We're talking about delivering 3,000 units in 2016. How many, what is the percentage of the total housing number, the target that we have, that the PH people part of? To me, this whole concept is very good, as I see it on paper, and particularly the idea of ownership, communities taking ownership, because then we really do appreciate something that we own it and it's not imposed on us. And so I just want to know how important in the whole housing structure and the targets that we have, you know, is this, and I'm not terribly sure what these 3,000 units in proportion to what you're delivering in housing, what percentage that makes up, because it's important enough to have increased that other
I want to just preface my comment by assuring not only the department but the committee that I fully endorse the type of program, because it brings dignity to the beneficiary, it brings pride, and we can get a variety in terms of the end product. However, and I have to refer back to past experience, so therefore we can judge by. There have been indications of very few exceptions to complete planning. The chairperson mentioned the PHPT, People's Housing Process Trust, something like that. There have been clubs which had a very important mandate, but over the years that we appeared before us, it was clear that the HPT is not
fulfill the mandate. Now, I actually cannot see what is going to be different from the presentation. Perhaps we should rename it as well, and we're using rebranding, repositioning, redefining, redirecting. So perhaps we should call it the four halves and hope that it's going to succeed. Because just like I have a problem with the renaming of the department, that it's not actually going to change things, I have a problem with this particular project. And we seem to be using all the right words, but what is going to be different? I don't see anything different from what was supposed to be done in the previous PhD project. So I'm not convinced, although I'd love to see this succeed, I'm actually not convinced by what I see in front of me today. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Secretary. Also, to me, from me, because of the time that you mentioned, streets must be accessible, roads must be there. It also means proper sanitation, electricity, and other basic services must be there. To me, it also means good quality. And I just wanted to find out from me, just what you're going to see even in reality, which is the rural, the most rural area. And we saw that even people that have been involved in PhDs in the past were part of those roadshows. So over and above that, what also happened when I came in the political biting that I mentioned was that during those roadshows, it was clearly requested to the party that please ensure that you communicate such policies to councillors as well. So what we also did was in provinces where the request was based and the others that we followed through, we basically targeted the councillors. Because this was one of the challenges previously. If a councillor was not in favor of the problem, or it wouldn't be supported. So we tried to be proactive and ensure that they are on board, they know exactly what the enhanced issue is all about, what are the benefits, whatever, what it is that is different from what we used to do in the past. So on our way, let's see, we take to that room, and this, I've spoken about consultation in my presentation. This is going to be an ongoing consultation, even during the project implementation, to ensure that all the participants, all the role players, are part of the whole process, and are well informed, and we're all speaking for the same page, and that's what will happen when I teach this process. The difference in that thing between the NGO and the NGO, CPO, and as well as the CRO. So remember, in the past, we used to use the housing support center or AMA support organization. And these entities were made up of community people, people that are part of the indigenous community, some of them lacking in certain skills. And then we find that the management of the whole project, because we didn't have, as we said, a financial manager, a qualified financial manager. Our funds are not properly administered. So when I speak about an innovative housing support center, when I talk about the CRO, it's going to be a community resource organization. This is going to be an entity. I will say, for example, during the roadshow in Mpumalanga, the provincial as well as the municipal official indicated to us, we've delivered PhD excellence in the past. So you're not going to come and say we should use a particular entity. What we intend to do as problems is that we're going to ensure that the very same housing support centers that we used previously are trained on financial management, project management, technical skills to give them better in this center. So the CEO of the combination of such entities, if, for example, in a province, there's a support organization like, I don't want to mention names, but
there are those entities that were involved with PHP. We wanted to come together with communities and form a CRO. So there will be that working together between the CRO as well as the community, which is basically made up of the beneficiary. Or in instances mentioned similarly, they clearly indicated to us, we don't have any such entity. So you will have to help us to identify, and so we'll be able to identify the CRO or help them say, maybe if the CRO is implementing the system, so why not build capacity here after implementing a pilot, and we move out, and the CRO will be in modern case. On the issue of the 3,000 units that we're talking about currently, the 3,000 is basically just to test the enhanced PHP coding. I think we should be realistic and true to ourselves that PHP is being viewed as being challenging, slow, and whatever. But I always say we are the ones putting the information to this computer for it to be slow. So it's not a problem that is slow to say, but it is a failure of us, the promises and the policies in the world to stand down. So I just think, coming back to you, I'm saying, if we get our training right from the inception of the program, even before we start implementing, if we get our training right from the onset, then we'll show you a different story coming to our training. So it's all about training. And this program is different from the way we do presentation in the past, because there's quite a few many areas. We have the dedicated capital subsidies manager PHP. To be able to monitor and evaluate the implementation thereof, the impact that it would have in a province, in a municipality, and at a national level. We talk about the issue of sustainability. We need to ensure that we sustain our CRO. Hence the need for this bridging finance that comes in. Currently, we're also in negotiations with certain small, medium, finance institutions to say, we'd like you to come aboard and join the PHP, but we need to negotiate your interest, because these are communities, these are people's living initiatives, so your interest is we should get the state whereby we agree, so that they don't offer, high interest, and then entities are able to pay. So there's quite a few add-on elements that are different from the way we used to do PHP in the past. community. They have problems in other areas because the community, they are not cooperative to them for the reason. These are the battle on the ground. Now they prefer not to tell the community that they will call individuals to come to those meetings. And they will tell them now to come in the afternoon. So if you want the mobilization of the communities in your program, inform the PCO. All the members, I think the PCO, but let me say all the PCO late night. So that the MPs must take the responsibility to ensure that the communities participate in this program. Guys, we are going nowhere. Yes, that is a legitimate structure for local government. But I must tell you now, there are a lot of problems down there. And I don't know if the result will need me. But as this portfolio committee together with you, let's talk one word on this one. We need business on the delivery of human settlement. We need your assistance in this one. Thank you for that. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I think it was also one of the common yesterday who said when she started saying through the meeting, what is this that we need to help us for? This is a, I view this as a two-way process. We need, I must admit that in some provinces, municipalities were not fully represented. And this was, it clearly indicated, even in a report that the ICT had, this was a challenge because this information was not filtered down to communities. So, Mama, I'm saying to you as well, we are aware of the challenge. I'm definitely opening the door for us to say, please use us to ensure that we can see them up and straight at the castle. That's exactly what we do.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think she has said it very well. I think in the old workshop reading, both for the other participants in the program, they do assessments of successful statements so that they can raise and they can correct some of the issues. I think this issue of significant distance and the shortest distance between the consumer and the government, the local government, and there is the place where the longer, the bigger miscommunication can take place. That's the primary. But it is something that needs to be managed. One needs to understand what are the dynamics of that statement. But I think the proposal would commit the department to develop an appropriate communication with the portfolio committee, at least to indicate under capacity building, under consumer awareness campaign, what are planned programs, where, which day, so that members are aware and are able to utilize their skills. And in the process of getting our hands and in the process of an affording play that role, I think we are committed to that. But the team is here. They will make sure that the teachers find methods that are submitted to the communication to the children. Thank you very much. I do get a sense that today, and it's to be expected, the pessimism about whether or not it's happening with the PhD program. I have to indicate that. And I think to that extent you may go back to the case of previous engagement about the extent which the committee was very impatient with us referring to a process of consultation that was coming up with the actual final product with regard to PhD. That was necessary because we as outlined in the NGO, we did assign after the analysis, some of the issues that are very problematic at implementation. The issue about PHP is that while we have addressed that quantity wise, it's not been a phenomenal success. You can't sacrifice the noble community building, citizen building, and moral, social, and one contributions that are intended out of this program. Is about British Revolution citizens who get something from government, begins to understand that they have a role to play and therefore their responsibilities as well. And I think some of the things that we failed to do was to build an appropriate pre-implementation consumer awareness and mobilization campaign. I think we may have failed during the provinces and I think the new program is dependent on ensuring that you do not go and run before you can call better. That is the thing you need to study in order to ensure that the program is built and appropriate. We also spend time with the NHGRC to effectively ensure that they play a role, because there was a technical advice for them to effectively say it will become extremely difficult for any of the companies. NHGRC provides an insurance, and therefore you are allowing anything to be used in the process of contracting. Therefore, it is difficult for anyone to take responsibility to say the owner is for itself, and therefore they take the responsibility of it. And I think those countries, we have to define what role they will play to ensure that they add quality to the process. And in that regard, Chair, members, sometimes the taste in the eating room, the child will take 1:10, take 1 month, 2:10, and take 1 month, 2:12. We will put a process, we will evaluate it together, and with your oversight, I think with the rules that you were saying, I'm sure we should begin to, we should not lose hope, because where PHP has been successful, it's been a phenomenal success. It's more than quantity, and those are projects that are, it's not the fact that generally they are in the country, every PHP program has been banned. There are very good projects in KZN, in something in Cape Verde, and I think we want to think on those, which is one of the things that we're doing to actually capture what is the network, make it work in this case, and therefore use it as a best practice so that it can share among the other players. Thank you very much.
Where is this PHP in KZN? You understood the answer?
I do not have the actual assistance, but we can provide it to us. Mr. Mini, you've got the information in your database. Can you welcome it and please provide it to the member? Why is the project going to be in the last issue?
Oh, okay. Thank you very much for the presentation. I've left with only 35 minutes to take us through the how many items? 1, 2, 3, 4. And definitely time is the proposal I would like to put forward to say, I think we talked about this longer. Is it a long one? Because what I'm suggesting, first of all, I think the members will work on this one. We immediately are going to have a president after the debate, after the president of June. We are going to sit around
control our problem as a common. So what we have the president to our thinking of the person with the department to come and finalize the steps in their program. But in the meantime, because these issues are also important because we are going to debate on them. But we do have a commission, and tomorrow the DG is going to lay out the strategic plan of the department. And I think this is going to include the information about this. And these institutions are trying, they are also coming, they are going to appear here in front of the portfolio committee. So we will manage to get some information. So that's thinking is we can. That means that if there is any presentation that could take a short presentation, including the so we can take it. So I don't know. I need guidance from the members now. Thank you.
I'm just wondering, obviously, the PhD presentation is with more questions, or alternatively, I don't know if you maybe just want to look at the internal audit presentation, which is pretty important in the next half an hour. That's the one just before the office of disclosure. Even if it's going to leave us with more questions than answers, it's going to be some information.
Okay.
Well,
then we have okay, let's take the item number 2 from below.
While they're getting ready, it might be a good time to ask why do we still have all these old names. All the officials yesterday, when they interviewed themselves, were very careful to correct that they were officials from human settlements. And I thought they would have the penalties and get otherwise. all the, particularly the new accreditation, all the old names.
That housekeeping. Thank you very much. We will take the hour.
You don't have a lot of confidence in us if we have to point it out. How many weeks after it's been
announced? No. I think officials are extremely technical. They have a technical argument. First of all, it is you have a certain we know that is the intention, that it should follow. You will remove our way.
Good afternoon. I'm But the person that agreed that there would be privatization, the
going on there rather than educating people before they the low-income housing system. And so the district is focused on that. Out of that, where people were found to be guilty, and the advocate of death were signed up between the SIU and those people to ensure that they were still handling over an agreed period of time with the interest that we calculated on the amount of the subsidy that the system in the community has allocated. So the position of offenders will be also considered offenders, and then finally the result will be taken for the final process. The focus of the first phase was based on dealing with the conveyance of fraud and debt, subsidy fraud, non-usual job houses and building contractors, misappropriation of funds with the housing project. Now, this time, these are the indications of where the bigger numbers were found in terms of people of government employees that have been part of the department. Initially, we see that housing is a specific number, followed by different things, and then obviously, important care of certain lines. The people that are more parasitical there could be that there's more population there, so the the number could be high. And we can get to the figures of the outcome of the investigation. The findings and the sort of collection of files, the AUD has red flags that market to 7,153, and the files that were out of there, because all of the folks are the same that was there for the SIU, so the files that were identified as residents were 7,153, and in seeking to file to collect the files from the provinces, about 1,078 files could not be found. And 211 were damaged, and there were floods, I think it was working. There were floods where files were damaged, and then there are 6,024 files that were given to the other law enforcement agencies, law enforcement agencies, and this was mainly in the Eastern Cape, because as soon as they got their red flag, they added over their number of files to the SAPS. And we then found that out of the all those numbers, 117 were filed in front of the really satisfying people. And so the files not received just a representation of the files not found damaged and given for other law enforcement agencies. And the total, the last column talks to the total number of files that were finally given up to now to the SIU investigation. This table deals with the first set of prohibitions set problems. The third column gives us the conditions, the total number of conditions, 564. There was lower from cost for government reasons and December 22 to 63 from lower 37 for the client, and the arrest recommended 722. And the cases that are still pending for various reasons are 128. Collective state problems. As the people were found guilty, they then signed agreement of death. And that was a death case where we would take that death out of the subsidy with interest over the 50 years. And these are the real state problems. The total being that forms that. 4,783,783. Then we the value of the agreement of them that are signed today on the civil servant investigation. Collecting for non-qualifying beneficiaries. After the court process had taken place and people signed the agreement of their they claimed that they were found
like the cost to be level, the different files were prepared with the help of the SIU to make sure that diversity people are government employees, they needed to also, apart from the law process that takes place, the government process of the disciplinary measures takes place now. The best way to be able to make sure that we ensure consistency and we reach out to the whole all the other departments running the DCSA. So the fact that they prepared the problems are listed there on 1977 and they were handed over to the DCSA and further then the DCSA then referred some of them that belong to the provinces to the criminal offices to make sure that they apply disciplinary action on the members of their department. And about 190 has been handed over. There are some that we by the time of when we handed over later, you can see what we have done is they were handed over in June, Northwest. The commencement happened on the 8th, and I'm sure there will be an update. Disciplinary files not finalized. Here, the FIU team was going on to carry the disciplinary finalizing the disciplinary files to be transferred. Breakdown of various income categories. For people to be found to be illegally benefiting from these low-income subsidy houses, they are those that are found to be outside the certain category that is allowed in terms of the points of the department. And here we just, in terms of the funding just where they were listed, we just did a full analysis and a bit of analysis on who and what within what salary level are these people that have received those houses from the department. And the figures are there. We have people that are the category and the next those will be 2,444 and the platinum qualified would be the people that can be you know their borderline issues. The others from 42,000 rand upwards, those are people that are not too far up from the category, but you need to look at what point was the application received and approved. And the rest are obviously illegally and unlawfully those coming to the other the money. If you look at the 50,000 rand category 7 and 10, 16, you get the 60,398, 70,000, 169 for the rest, and so many people are that we have some people that are actually ending about 100,000 that we have found, 92 of them that have actually received these houses. And as of the whole number, for these files that we have received, and a number of files that we have received, 2,940 that have not been able to be handed over to the site of investigation. In terms of the government subsidy provision breakdown, we are just here trying to reconcile on the files and to link it to what has been given to the SIU and what has been the value of the AOD. If you look at the value of the AOD, the last column, it tells us that the total amount that we should receive in the end when people have paid should be today we are expecting and we are signed as AOD up to that amount, the 19 million, and that's what we expect to get at the end of the project. And the 728 files will be presented to the district. The highlights. In terms of the civil service investigation, it was about 607 prosecutions, and the total number of AODs is 1,608, and the total value of the AODs is 19 million.
There was also a different word for it, because in KwaZulu-Natal, they were very strict in producing their bags. The SRU was able to finish most of their work to that they then went into another category, the next category, when they were finished the 67, and compared to the rate of the AOD, the 923,000. And again, in KwaZulu-Natal already, some work has begun to be done on the municipality in the city, because some of the people that have also developed the department in the low-income houses is people that not only that work for government, but also those that work for the municipality. So the value today in terms of KwaZulu-Natal, including the KwaZulu-Natal investigation is 1,800,000. And of course, also there were some other categories that were done. The value of the time is 1,700,000. The old proclamation, before the national proclamation was taken to be, the provinces had their own separate proclamations with the SIU before the umbrella one came into being. So the Eastern Cape, there would be the figure that has been that raised to the value of the AOD that was done during that time. And
I'm afraid
although I realize that of course that these have done enough to put that sort of information up. But I think we need to have it in our oversight role. It's extremely important for us to have those figures. And I think we haven't even begun to touch on the corruption that exists at local government level in the criteria used in issuing the houses at that level, you know, the corruption that seeps into that. So we have a huge challenge for the community. I'm not too sure how that is on top of a thing like this, other than to say that I think thank you very much for actually bringing the project to us. I presume that is the full extent of the project, but there will be more at local government level. And all I'm asking, Chair, is that we be given the slides, the copy of those slides.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm not going to go into too much detail. Unfortunately, I've got a little bit more detail than my colleague did, because from the previous one, this was in the agency report of 2006. But one thing that comes to mind almost immediately, Chairperson, is that the AG identified then, in terms of monetary value, a figure of 323 million rand. We talk here about something like 19 million rand that possibly can be recovered. Now, that's a huge, huge difference. Similarly, with the number of cases, again, and unfortunately, I have to be able to on my phone here, the... The number of subsidies that were found to be irregular was 53,000, and I'm quoting from that agency report, and we're talking here about 7,000 or 9,000 files. Now, my question is, there's a certain amount of files that water handed over for previous reasons. So what are we doing about it? Are we simply going to say, well, it can't be handed over? And it brings me to an earlier question raised by Member Bowman about backups. Surely there should be electronic backups somewhere. If they can't get over hard copies. Then I think just lastly, at some point we need to get a report on the gaps that led to this. What has been done? I know there's a lot of work that's been done in terms of the subsidy system and how it's captured in there. I think we need to get an update about what we've done to prevent something similar from in the future. Thank you.
Now, my short question, do you have a breakdown on what is identified? Breakdown on what is identified?
Problems and maybe there should be an update that will be available for the committee the next time.
but we still have a few questions that we don't find. The issue relating to the fact that the AG identified 3,000 and nothing about 7. The rest of the AG was 7,300, but when we go to the SIU and the NASA, they did better analysis of the bigger population, they found that there's more. So what happened is there was a prioritization on the AG baseline space, because we have to answer that so that the AG can become part of the NASA. Also, what we focused on, there were various categories, there were people that were under 21, people that are dead, people that were. So the figure, the focal amount of the something is made up of the fact that we have not been able to go into other types down in this service because we wanted to set a tone based on our own colleagues that have done this thing that we are not supposed to do. So those categories will also fall into the community. It's an ongoing contract that some of these issues are going to be discussed and not using these categories.
I think we'll have the rest of the time provided support for the cancer program. But I think I assume that there was a presentation from the audience. But I think it's still that to the program going forward so that we can be able to provide, for example, systemic and policy enhancements since then, given that we now knew what the weaknesses were in the system. The second part is, and I think I'm going to answer the question with regard to the files. There are files that were lost from time or less, most of which were hard copies, application forms. No, you cannot take anyone to court without the evidence. And those are the kind of things that. And in some cases, those files cannot be reproduced. And therefore, the SIU uses alternative means. Sometimes they may be able to say, this one, we can take it based on whatever documentation we have given that they now extract information from a secondary source, which is the system. And sometimes they say, we don't go and waste your money on something that you are whose prospects of success are not going to be not very high or very low. And that's the kind of research which you then assess what happened. Further to that, a task team that was set up to look at the finding, whether each finding must be understood to have been the best level. They synthesized purely based on analysis. Things the problem with the recovery. We then went and did in-depth analysis of those. And I guess I must say, we only did in-depth analysis of the files we could find, not the analysis, with the SIU. And in that regard, we also discovered in some categories were also problems. I think the ages flag was just misdirected. For an example, we went and found people who were born in the end. That reflected their ID 01, 02, 03. The AG interpreted them to have been born in 2001. And the doctor has been allowing to give a child in 2005, 2000, who was born in 2001. Only because it was 1901. And some of them have been alive. We are right. There were then others who actually discovered that at the time of application, not at the time of the investigation, they were unemployed. Later, they got jobs. Now, you don't go and take the house away from the person when they are fired and can move on. So, those cases reduced the numbers. But I think what was critical for us is to say those that are found to have been on the wrong side, then they must be pursued. And then we did the important provide details of the area where we have done the report. In the area of the research that I have been when I walked in, he was offering some of those improvements and I'm waiting to see that with verification of the other databases. Not 100%, but they have been dealing with those red flags.
Now, with regard to the extent of the corruption, when you do the fraud risk analysis, because we need a lot more than just these categories, but there are possible areas where there could be fraud. And to a large extent, the HSIU analysis, which will do a full genetic analysis, and then such a thing, they do the right checking now for us, instead of the AGB that they do. Let's look at the conduct. Let's look at those things. So that if conduct are not appropriate, then we must find whether there is a potential for fraud. In some cases, there may be, there are some cases that we think we would have to do. And those are going to be a phase two investigation. And those will actually go to the largely, most of them are going to be at the municipal level because that's going to where those can be implemented. So just be patient, you will find out what you know is happening at the municipal level. Because you come from there, I'm sure you will come with that. Because they are now doing that analysis and they are picking up the cases that will need to be investigated in there, and there will be progress in the type of those. And that's part of the records management going forward. It's going to be part of the presentation we do to show where we have things to be, including the continuous capacity building program that we're putting in. Thank you.
Just a quick one, Chief. The Chief Director mentioned setting the tone, and it's in line, obviously, with the President's setting.
Yes.
Now, therefore, these people that have been found guilty, that have been convicted, in terms of the disciplinary measures, do they still work for the various departments? Are they only paying back the subsidy amount? Are they paying interest on that? What? How exactly are we setting this up?
In dealing with this matter, we have to deal with them into the same conservative amount could come. The civil fight that recovery, and I think there's been an explanation. What we do is silent operation of death. We start on the day there, draw the benefit. There's an interest rate that we charge, which is linked to the treasury, dependency rate, if you like. And then the person then buys himself or herself, whether they are going to be, they may end up in terms of the criminal process, because it's determined by the criminal process. But where somebody has been found in a criminal case, in a criminal case, there is a code, a public service code, that then gets involved. Again, it's got to be addressed in terms of the process, because now the DSA kicks in. And those to do that. In fact, if you are criminally found and you are arrested, then they can't go and sit in prison. But in cases where those people are brought up, some servants are at home, etc. And that process, sometimes that is not only the same system before the other one, or before operations, once operations drop their test and sign their test. So it's not the one way or the other, but all of them. Our first was the FIU is run, consists of a lot of advocates and people who are affected, so they give us a proper link and they do a proper link of consideration and say, do they do and they or which one should be set? And we take you from that advice, but we take you all of them. And that's part of the process of the day.
The transaction. The category A, that says something that if you are a second offender, this is what is likely going to be happening. Well, and then another thing was to make sure that the same subject that has been for the database, we check whether they are also in the database of the people that you got the data, the grant, the social grant. If you are there, the second or the low, the your the degree will have you. And then there's a category where, you know, we have a previous transgression from elsewhere. So there's three categories that are left out. The left has been set up by the use of DPSA to the provinces to other international departments where they have to be sent for. So that we could consider the consistent way.
our program for today and for the past day. There's nothing much to say other than to say this session was a very, very much informative session to the members, and I think even to the administration, a lot of homework for which that is a healthy environment they have to accept towards them. And I think the information, the numbers were very, very, they showed interest. And they were participating, interacting with you in a robust manner. So this brings hope to all of us that this term we are prepared to deliver our things, all of us. So we must bear with each other. We know that my brother here is a big man. So if something has happened to me, to say, no, we are not accepting the department, but we are for one people to ensure that what has been said by the president is not done. And those who were, I thank you, everybody to say that you were prepared. So, members, I thank you. Let's again, and then we will see tomorrow morning.
You got my card. Will you give me a cell number? Just give me your cell number. You can send me a message. And I will give you the our human resource person. They said that out at the moment. You know that the last one was my name. No, we've got Edward out of the station right now. Just now. So please SMS me your name and your cell number. Then I will give you a
I'll be safe.
I beg pardon?
I say I'll cross with you and I know I'll be safe.
Oh, you don't know, I might be whatever in disguise or not even in disguise. I might just be whatever. Okay, let's go. Let's go.
No matter
the presentation, so that so when I get the document, at least I can contact one of them and can assist with the other one, you know. Oh, you don't want us to save your minutes?
I've done
that. Oh, you've already done that?
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll be back to your anything.
You're the big boss today.
Huh?
Are you the big boss today?
No. Just stand for a second. Number 46.
Number 14.
Yes. Do you still remember how it
was? Let's try. Let's see if I remember.
Okay, I just switch it on here.
Yeah.
I'll wait till it says no sign.
Let's see if I remember. It's a long time.
Yeah, it says no sign. After no sign, I press long press on menu.
Mm-hmm.
And it will give me those four options.
Mm-hmm.
I go to the second one and I confirm it.
Right.
And after that, it's a long press on record and volume.
Long press?
Yes, long press. It will
on record?
Here. And it's recording now.
Okay.
I pause it here.
Fine.
And I switch it off there as well.
Now, what I do to switch on? Just that?
Yes. Long press and long.
Long press?
Yeah, long press to switch off. So short press now.
Short press? Record.
Yeah. Long press. No, this one. You see, now it's still recording.
Yeah.
And
now?
To switch it off,
pause?
You just...
What about
to pause it? To pause it. It's a short press on that.
Okay.
It's
Now it's pause. And to start going again, I just... And the
short
volume
press.
Is up.
Yes, the volume is
up. Always up, the volume, right?
Yes.
Okay. Good. So I've got my tag, I've got my machine.
Mm-hmm. And also you've got your list.
I've got the list. Anything else I need? Any documents or nothing?
No documents.
No documents.
No documents.
Oh, and I need that little thing to take with me, don't I?
Which one?
To give them, to fill in.
Oh, the, oh, 1, 2, 3, you take the 1, 2, 3, one. 1, 2, 3. That row.
This
document
one.
Folder, yes.
And you take them and that.
And that one as well, the delegation. Hi.
I'm alright. Thank
you.
Flash drive. Was one presentation that we've dealt with. It's this thing here. I just also copied the 2 pages for you, so that it is on there.
All right.
And Ilda. Copy it for me onto the system.
Alright.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Everything is covered. You got everything.
Alright, thank you.
Alright, cool. Okay. Long leave, I got it on the committee secretary itself. For
who?
The first time in my life.
Who is the committee?
Cooperative Governance.
Oh, Shireen. She was on SQ something.
Yeah.
And you can't get anything from me.
I know.
Normally
difficult.
She was on labor, SQ labor.
Yeah, she was on SQ labor.
I remember. Keep on sending emails, won't respond, won't do anything.
I know.
When you call her,
you
say, I don't know.
But I couldn't believe it. She did it day and then. Day? I just asked her, do you have the documents on your computer? She said, yes, give me a day. I'm supposed to go to the police station. I don't believe it.
I bring later, don't I?
Yes, this one. After you come back, yes.
And then you load it
up. I'll copy, yes.
You know
yes.
how long that meeting will be?
No, I'm not.
You don't know. Okay, I'll see you later.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
No, the lady right in the corner, I've forgotten her name for a minute. Lady who...
Sveta? Sveta?
No, not Sveta, right in the corner.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
She's not here as well.
She's not there.
Yeah, we are expecting her.
Okay.
Yeah.
See you later.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. Got a problem with him, honey.
I know. That's why...
Because when he came back from the meeting, he doesn't want to give me the document, and he doesn't want to be called.